Today's daf in Masechet Shviit, Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is the beginning of Perek Revi, and we're holding at the bottom of Chofei Amud Beis, but today's daf is Chav Vav. So now what we've been talking about until now throughout this Perek has been some fascinating issues that it turns out were not really completed, and those are things that are Ma'orer, Chashadot, and that's talking about things even like building stairs down to the valley or doing things like collecting stones from a quarry that's in your field or taking out a stone fence in order to be able to use its stones and things that look like fertilizing your field because you're actually taking out the garbage, but in taking out the garbage in those days, you're making a compost heap, or the question of diur, which it could be that even people just came in, and this is their business. They bring their sheep, and they sit them down in your field, and then they ask to be paid for the fact that, meanwhile, they've left you a pile of fertilizer for you to use, all kinds of things like that. And mostly the issues there revolved around the questions of Maris Ayin, even though there were some subtle issues in which we thought that maybe we're talking about, as Tosa suggested, maybe we're talking about a psik resha, things that you end up doing, there's no way to avoid doing. Remember, we had that whole discussion, whether psik resha applies to the melachas of Shvius, even though those melachas are very, very different than the melachas of Shabbos. Okay, so what we were learning until now, benogea the dinim of sikul, of taking out the stones. So remember, we were always matir it, where it was very clear to everybody that what it is that you're taking out is for a construction project, and that nobody's going to be choshed that you're taking this out in order to be able to use it. Now, there's going to be an obvious difference in the way that you clear a field. And besides talking about sikul, let's move to the general question of clearing a field. So basically, somebody who is about to plant his field likes to have a clean surface for things to be able to grow without obstruction on the surface, which would include taking off pieces of wood, branches that have fallen down, types of grasses and stalks from the previous season, all types of things like that that are bothering him to be able to have a clean surface for his new sowing. And so, therefore, we have a more general question. If you're collecting, and you're collecting the wood, or you're collecting broken sticks, or you're collecting straw, or you're collecting even grass, all of these things, remember, have very clear-cut other uses. I mean, grass you could be collecting for your animal, sticks you can be collecting for, that's what they used to use for their stoves and ovens. I mean, everybody was in need, not of big, gigantic pieces of firewood, but little pieces that you would stick, you know, just for a 5-minute fire and to do an egg in the morning. That was very common. So you would then go out and collect these sticks. So now the question is, how does like all of that tie in to the Isurim that we've been talking about? Benogea, the stones were over there. We had all types of Shiurim that are Nogea. If they're very big, they're carried by two people, and the fence, I should keep saying fence, the wall that you were breaking down was so high that it would obviously be ridiculous for you to break it down, unless it was for a construction project, or you had a machtsev, and this machtsev has got all of these stones in it, you're continuing to go down. So, okay, we had all of these machlokasin about whether you have to leave the bottommost layers so that it shouldn't be nogea, the actual clearing of the field, or could you even in those cases take out the whole thing because it's so obvious that you were only moving it out? The last thing that we had was the avne katef in the issue of the stones that the mizazatan amacharesha that would be moved about very easily with a macharesha. Therefore, everybody understands you're taking those out. They're heavy and you're taking them out in order to use. But what about where you've got all kinds of other things? You got sticks. So the sticks and stones, I mean, that's the old nursery rhyme. But, I mean, you've also got grasses and things like that that need to be taken out. And the truth is that there are takonas and gezeres about doing that as well. But, again, only because of the fact that we're assuming that it would be a maris ayin. That people are choshud, that they're being meich in their sadeis for zriya or harisha on shviyas. And because of that, the Rabbanan answered it, because of Maris Ayin, but it's not that these things are actually Osir Midiraisa. So now it turns out that the level of the Shmirah of Shvias deteriorated throughout the ages, and that because of that, we had to be more and more machmer in certain ways as time went on. So therefore, our Mishnah begins, our Perek begins, with Berishonat. Used to be when things were not as bad, and people were not as choshet on it being mevato l'dinim of Shvias. So Berishonat, Yomrim, so the Chachomim agreed that you would be allowed to be malaketa dam etzim, v'avanim, v'asavim, mitoch shelo, k'derech shu malaket shel chavero. So we've already said in the past Perek, we have one very clear klal. All of the Yisurim that we spoke about were only benogea doing something like moving stones out of your own field. But if you went into the next guy's field, he did it, it's clear that everybody understands, what is he doing there? I mean, he's not going to be breaking his back to make the other guy's field nice. Clearly, he is going to be doing that for his own construction project. It was because of that we talked about if he's a kablan. So for sure, he's allowed to do it. So wherever we have some hochacha that what is being done to heter, we weren't gozer. Now, the question is, what about not these big building stones? So what about just taking out etzim, avanim, asavim, various grasses, woods, smaller stones? You could take that originally, before we made a gezerah, out of your own field. The same way that you're allowed to take out from your friend's field anything, you could take out the gas hagas from your own, as the Gemara is about to explain. Because the Mishnah is a little bit misleading. It doesn't mean kederek shu malakit mitoch shel chavero, we only allowed you to take out the biggest stones from chavero. No. We're allowing you to take out from your own field the biggest stones and the biggest bushes that fell that are dried out now and the biggest branches that fell into your field. We're allowing you to take that out in the same way that we allowed you to take out anything from the neighbor's field. That's how the Gemara says we have to understand the Lashon of the Mishnah, even though it seems to be saying you're only allowed to take out hagas from your friend's field, which is simply not the case. Fine. Why is that? Because since you are only taking out the biggest pieces, so clearly you're not doing that to get your field ready. If you wanted to get your field ready, you're not bechalik between the biggest pieces and smaller pieces. You want to have a clear field. And since you're taking out the big pieces, it's because those pieces are useful to you. So you want to have a nice amount of firewood. You take out a big branch and take out little tiny pieces. You want to be able to feed your animal, so you take out a large plant that is dried out that the animal will eat, but you're not going to pick up little pieces of grass. So therefore, everybody sees that you're not doing it for purposes of the field, and you're doing it for purposes of need. Fine. But what happened afterwards? Misha Rabu Avrei Avera. So then people would actually go do the whole field, and they would say, no, the only thing that was on this field were these very big branches. We took them because we needed them for the stove and so on. So then the Rabbanu made a takana. Mitkinu, she is ze malaket mitoch shel ze, ze malaket mitoch shel ze. Now, the truth is that this girsa is not the only girsa in the Mishnah. Some of the girsos in the Mishnah leave out the second, the ze malaket mitoch shel ze. And we'll see why. It's sort of obvious why. But anyway, you could be malaket shelo betova. So if somebody sees you doing the work in another guy's field, he understands, oh, you needed some firewood. The other guy gave you the right to go into his field and take firewood for yourself because he didn't need it. So nobody's going to think you're clearing out the other guy's field in order to actually get the field ready. But this is only in the event that there should not be a tova. So what does that mean? The Pashat meaning, like the Rav says, is that he shouldn't be able to come to you and say, see what a great job I did on your field. And you would say, oh, wow, thank you so much. Because then, in fact, it would be nogea, the actual work on the field. Well, then we have to take away the motivation for doing a good job on another guy's field. So you're not allowed to have any kind of relationship of even saying thank you. The Rambam has a much more reasonable explanation. And in the Pirshei Mishnayos, the way the Rambam understands it is that the only way that this is mutter is obviously that there was no deal made. That's the pshat shelo b'tova. We could, if we make a deal, then the whole takona makes absolutely no sense. You say to your friend, you take care of my field, and I take care of your field. I mean, that's the classic mafia. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. We're both going to do it wrong, you know, but we'll cover for the other guy by doing it in the other guy's field. I mean, what kind of ridiculous takona would that be? Therefore, the Rambam says, that's good for what it means. You could not have had any type of actual agreement. All we're doing is we're saying you can go into the next guy's field. That's all we're saying. You want it, go into the next guy's field. But you cannot make a deal with the next guy. That's exactly what we're saying. And for sure, he can't be paying the next guy, because if you're paying him, so then obviously he'll do whatever it is that you would want him to do. So why would people think, oh, he's not going to go to the trouble? Of course he'll go to the trouble. He's getting paid for it. And therefore, the point is that it would be impossible to make this takana if that were the case. Now, we have another takana, which we're going to see in our Gemara, which did not catch on. The other takana was that they were also came to a point where people would pretend that there was no deal between the neighbors and that it was a commitment, shelo b'tova. They would say it was shelo b'tova, but the truth is it was b'tova. So because of that, they ended up being mitakein. You're not allowed to bring it anywhere except from Hefker. That's what the Pashtus of the Gemara today is going to say. Okay, so obviously, if you don't learn it like the Rambam, that the meaning of Shelo B'tova is that there's no connection between the two, no discussion between the two, and it's completely random whose field I'm going to be going into. It may not be my next door neighbor, it may be a guy down the block, in which case there would be no reason for us to say that there was a deal between them. If you don't learn that way, so then how do you explain a ridiculous takana in which everybody is going to obviously be doing the wrong thing for the other guy? Okay, so then that would mean that we would have to have conditions. Okay, so they speak out these conditions. First of all, they would make a condition that you can only take, even from Stechavero, the biggest stones. You wouldn't be able to take the small stones. It would be treating everybody as if it's his own field. Now, that would change the halacha, because that would mean that the way to understand the Mishnah is that we ended up not being mater, even taking Mistei Chavero, other than the Gas HaGas. And that would be the way they explained the Gas HaGas in the Mishnah, not the way that the Yerushalmi explained it. And furthermore, you have to make it very clear that there was no din of gomlin. We didn't say, I'll do yours and you do mine. Okay, so then if that's the case, the halacha would be, according to this approach, you could only be malakit the gasim, which is beferish. I mean, against the way the Rambam, here's the lotion of the Rambam. The Rambam says like this, Rishona yomrim malaket adam etzim v'avanim v'asavim b'toch sadeu, but v'hu, that's only in a case yitol agas hagas. Shelo yitkaven l'nakot ha'aretz. Aval, mi shirabu ovrei avera shemitkavenim l'nakot, but they claim agas hagas onanot lim, osu litol odam misadeu at all, ela mitoch stechavero, v'hu shelo b'tova, even the ability to say, see, ra'ei kama tova siti lecha, hariniketi sadecha, so then that means that after the takana, you're still allowed to be taking the dakim. He never said that you have to take the gas hagas after the takana. And that makes perfectly good sense, because that is the way that he understood the shelo b'tova in the Pirshei Mishnayos. Okay? And then the fact is that the girsa in the Mishnah is what confuses us, because the lashon of that ze mitok shadeo shazev, ze mitok shadeo shazev, is mashma the opposite of the shelo b'tova of the Rambam, right? It's mashma you make a deal, and the halacha is only if they don't make a deal. So because of that, it could be that the Rambam maybe didn't even have those words in the girsa at all. Okay, so says the Gemara, Rishana Yomrim. Now, as we pointed out when we read the Mishnah, it's a very, very strange language, right? Because it seems to be saying that the gas hagas is what you're allowed to take mistech haverai. And that's not true. A gas hagas was what they said you could take from yours, but mechavero, you were allowed to take anything. So Omer Rabbi Yonah, I mean, what you need to understand in the Mishnah is just reorganize it in your mind so that it is saying what it clearly is meant to say. This is the way that would have been clearer, and it's the way that you should keep it in mind. So put those last words, etagas hagas, to be going back at the beginning statement of what it is you're allowed to take out of your own field. So they used to say you could take out of your own field only the gas hagas, in the same way that you would be mutter, kederach shemalakei peshal chavero, anything, bein dakim, bein gasim. So just like we were matir in the next guy's field, because there's no marisa ayin. If you're taking anything, because who's going to think you're doing all of this work to fix up your neighbor's field? In that same way, that's what it means. You could take out in your own field the gas hagas, because you're making it clear that you're only taking it for use and not to be metaking the soda. So this would be very similar to the halacha that we had in the previous parak of leaving the area that's directly on the ground, like the case of the gravel, right? So leaving that area on the ground, and that way, who's going to think that you're being metaking the ground? Then, so then the Mishnah continues, where people were more choshed ala shviyas, and they were claiming that even though they had taken every last bit out, they claimed, no, we were only working on the gasim. So then they made the second takana. Hitkinu shiye zeh malakit b'toch shel zeh, v'zeh malakit b'toch shel zeh, shelo b'tova. And now, says Rabbi Yonah, things have gotten even worse. And the Mishnah did not tell us that in the Braita we find that nechshedu liyot malakdim betova. So then we got a new chashat. People would try to cover themselves by claiming that, no, we just went in here. I don't even know the guy, you know. But the truth is that they were malakdim betova, and they're claiming that it was shelo betova. So then they had to make a new takana. The new takana was sheyu mivim min hakarov umin hamatsui, that you'd have to be taking out only from some of the Mefarshim learned this means only min hahefker, or it could mean, according to others, only from the other guy, but only if it's like very accessible. Not if you have to go in deeply into his field and so on. Okay, whatever it means particularly. And then, based on what Rabbi Yonah claimed, that we have the third level of the Isser, comes along Rabbi Zira to say, only the first two takonas ended up being accepted by the tzibur, and therefore they're binding. And those two, Rishona mitkayemet, but the last takona that Rabbi Yonah brought, that you're only allowed to collect either from Efker, according to the Roshitas, or only from what's like right at the edge of the other guy's property, that nobody was mekayem, and therefore that is batel. That's why our Mishnah actually didn't mention it. Now, there are times that you could even collect everything, even from your own field. So let's say you're in the field together with your animal, and you're collecting the grass and feeding it directly to your animal. So over there, behem tomo chachat alav, the fact that it's actually being used for animal feed is so clear that who's going to claim that you're clearing out your field? It's obviously what you're doing. Suppose you brought along your portable oven with you, you know, and you're putting in all of these little pieces of sticks, and you're cooking yourself breakfast. I mean, I takira tosham. Fine, so then that also proves to anybody normal that what you're doing is not clearing your field, it's making yourself breakfast. And therefore, we wouldn't have a shaila on that. Now, my question, is there like some type of standard in which we call anything bigger than 17.5 centimeters is called agas? Anything from, I mean, like, there's no shear, right? All you said is, relatively, you said hagas, hagas, relative to the field, right? Okay, so now, I mean, if it's relative to the field, so maybe I could take, and it makes sense, I mean, to say relative to the field, because the whole point over here is the avoidance of any kind of chashat, right? So if you're taking only the biggest pieces that are available to you, it's not like some type of universal big piece. Well, the biggest pieces that are available, that's going to be the least tircha that you'd be doing in order to get the pieces of wood for your stove, correct? But then if that's the case, so let's imagine a situation like this. One guy's field has these very big pieces of wood. So to him, the gas ha-gas, when he goes through it, are big pieces of wood. He's able to throw that into his oven, bake pizzas, whatever. The other guy, his biggest pieces, this reminds us of the Sugya Baba Kama, right? What is considered to be metav haaretz. So his biggest pieces are smaller than the middle-sized pieces of the next guy. So he would be allowed to take his biggest pieces out and leave behind his smaller pieces because they would be considered, relative to his needs, they would be considered the biggest, right? So I got a question. A guy went through his field, took out the biggest pieces. That was on Thursday. The next Monday, he wants to do the same thing again. And he says, well, anybody who's watching me collect sees I'm only taking out the biggest pieces relative to what I have in my field, right? And the next guy who only had pieces this size, which were his biggest, he was allowed to take it. So how come he would be allowed to take it, and now I'm not allowed to take it out of my field on Sunday or Monday? These are now my biggest pieces. So then, okay, can I do that? So now I keep coming back to my relative biggest pieces, and my relative biggest pieces are always an indication to the onlooker that this guy is obviously only interested in fuel and not in his field. So let's say he started off and he was Likei Pegas. It makes a lot of sense. Can he come back again and do it the next day? So now relative to the dakim, he's going to be taking out the gasim. How about that? This is great. I mean, if you do that, I mean, what are we talking about? Zeno's paradox over here? I mean, the guy basically is going to end up clearing out his whole field. So now we're talking about the 1 millimeter size that he took, leaving behind the half a millimeter size. And the next day, it's going to be the half a millimeter size he took out, leaving the actual quarter of a millimeter size. And then finally, maybe we could get all the way down to plank lengths, you know? So how could you make it a continued series of relatives? Because if you say that, end result is we've got no way of controlling what's going to end up happening. So we're giving you one chance at doing the likud, and that one chance has to be your gas ha-gas. Okay, fair enough. Now, I got another question. How about if there's no bigger or smaller? What are you going to do then? So you can't take only the bigger and leave behind the smaller because there is no bigger or smaller. So is there any way that you could manage to take things out of the field while still maintaining the aura of innocence that's required in order for the Chachomim to be matirit? So what you could do maybe you would just be able to take a certain percentage, right? If you leave some of the big ones, so that would be the equivalent of leaving smaller ones. I mean, what is worse if I leave big ones? So the truth is, says the Gemara, we have a machlokas in the Mishnayos about these cases. And these are, one is a Mishnah later on that we're going to have. One is a Mishnah we already had. One of the Mishnayos is mashma that it would be okay. And one of the Mishnah is mashma that it would be osir. So let me tell you the one that is matir, at least this is the way it's simplest to learn it, not the way the girl learns it, but we'll learn it like this. Here the Mishnah says, which we had before in the previous parak, HaMesakel Sadeu, Notelet El Yonot, Miniach HaTanogot Baretz. So, there's plenty that you can do to make it clear that you're not clearing the land. How do you do that? You leave those that are on the actual top of the land and you don't take them out. You take anything else, and therefore you made it very clear you're not trying to clear your field. So Hada Amra Shari, so this tells me that it would be actually mutter. Now the Gra actually flips it around, and he says Hada Amra Aser, because if the only Eitzah that you have is to leave it attached to the ground, so then there is no Heter in what size you're removing, right? Okay, but as I said, we'll take the simple approach of the other Mepharsha. Now, the next Mishnah which is mashma. Again, according to the Gra, the next Mishnah is mashma the heter, according to the way we're learning it, like the Rash, the next Mishnah is mashma, that it would actually be aser. That is the Mishnah we're going to have a little bit later. And over there, now, remember I pointed out to you that the Yerushalmi is very sparse in providing you the details that you need to know. If it gives you over a diuk in a Mishnah, it only quotes the part of the Mishnah that's nogea. And the fact that you're sitting there scratching your head, what does this have? What does this mean? That's your problem, because you were too stupid to have learned the Mishnayos before you came to learn the Gemara. So we're supposed to also spell out the Mishnah to you, dumbbell. So therefore, the Yerushalmi never does that. And that this is as opposed to the Bavli, that's ready to give you the whole background all over again, so that you can't claim you forgot what we're talking about. All right. So we're going to have to provide a little bit of the background that the Gemara over here is actually ignoring. So later on, we've got a Mishnah that makes a difference between clearing an area and thinning an area. So let's say you've got trees that are planted too close together. Remember, that was talking about olive trees. So over there, we had a machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. So according to Beit Shammai, if you're just thinning, and the Gemara over there explains you're taking out two or three trees out of five trees, whatever. So you can clear it by cutting it all the way down to the ground, but you can't take out the roots from the ground. And Beis Hillel says, no, you can even take out the roots from the ground, because it's very clear that you're not doing that as harisha, but you're actually doing it in order to allow the other trees to survive. Okay, so then, after that, the Mishnah continues with this. Ezehu ha-meidel. So what is considered to be, meidel comes from the word dal. You're making it poorer, meaning you're thinning it. You're thinning out the number of trees. So what do we call meidel? Somebody who's taking out two or one or two trees from a group that includes three other trees. So in other words, you take out one or two out of five. If you'd be taking out three in a row, then I don't care how many other trees are there, that would actually be being mefana. You're clearing it out completely. There, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, Kuli Alma is meida, that it's usher, because it looks like you're clearing out an area to plant it, and that's usher for shvius. Okay. So now, everybody seems to say that it would be usher in that case. Why? I mean, all you did was take out the trees. You're leaving all those other trees there. And that would be the same thing as over here. If there's no little things that are going to prove, you only had big things. There's no little things that will prove that what you took out was not to clear your field. So then it means you're not allowed to take out the field, even though you're leaving the same things behind. You left over other olive trees. So how can they say you're clearing out your whole field? So ad amar aser. So that would mean, according to this Mishnah, it would actually be aser. Okay, so then that means that now we've got a halacha that you have to make it very clear. Again, all of the particular prote dinim that in Shvius, if it's clear that you're not doing it for the purposes of Zriah, then there's no problem. What about the din of Chol HaMoed? Now remember, throughout these various halachas, because of the fact that the Mishnayos and Meyat Katan and all Sugya over there keep comparing the dinim of Shemitah to Chol HaMoed, so we want to know, would the same halacha be true l'gabei Chol HaMoed? You are not allowed to do harisha, and you're not allowed to do sikur, clearing out your field from all of its mess. You can't do that as part of your agricultural preparation. Now, obviously, you're allowed to collect some firewood for your oven. So the question is there the same din of the Maris Ha'ayin? So af b'moed kein, is this true exactly the same way? You can take the big sticks out as long as you lead the little sticks. That would be what it's talking about. Not that that's true, by the way, because we remember we canceled that halacha, but the original takana, before we came up with the second takana. So could you do that? So actually, there's a braita, Ashkach Tanatani. So we find a braita that says, Melake Tadametz and Vasavimitoshulatakas Hagas. quoting our Mishnah here, Keder Shumalake Betok Shulchan Vero, Bein Dakin, Bein Gassin, which was the way that the Yerushalmi explained the proper way of understanding the Mishnah. But, here it ends, B'Shvias, Avalo B'Mo'ed. So that means that since it's considered to be a Tircha, and Chol HaMo'ed is defined by the Malacha, called Malacha because of the amount of Tircha Yitera that's involved. So over there, in Yachinami, it would be usur according to the Braita. Now the question is, when that Braita mentioned, notice that he left out, he was talking about Eitzim ve'asavim. How come he left out Avanim? Was that on purpose? Is he passing that you're actually not allowed to move the stones at all? I mean, maybe he's against the Mishnah? Is that possible? That our Mishnah is Matir Avonim and the Braisa left it out on purpose? So Ashkach Toni, Av Bavanim, we actually found a Braisa that was the same Lashon of that Braita, and it did mention Avanim. So it's probably not a machlokas. It's probably just that he was focusing on the kind of things that you would need for cooking on Chol HaMoed or feeding your animal Chol HaMoed. You're not going to be doing a construction project. So he didn't mention it, probably. And Lamaisa, I mean, you need to be very real. I mean, you can claim whatever the heck you want. Your claiming is not going to make what you're doing mutter or usser. Now this next word has become mamish a byword, and therefore it's a gavi word, and it's a beautiful saying, which goes, halev yodea im le'ekel im la'kalkalot. A person's own heart, this is brought in so many sugyas, where there's always two ways of interpreting what you're doing. And very often, you're on the edge. You're the one that has to be honest enough to know, are you looking for the ekel, or are you looking for the akalkalot? Looking for doing the wrong thing. What is the ekel? So this, how did this whole turn of phrase come about? Because it was a maisa like this. And Rabbi Yossi, B'Shem Menachem, says that once Rabbi Akiva was going around, Keshitate, and he had a shita that the Rav is responsible to see to it that people in his area are keeping Shemitah. And because of that, he went around himself, and he went to look and see whether people were being over on Shemitah. So he sees a guy, Chomachad Izmakarm, sees a guy who's cutting, seems to be pruning. He's cutting off the small branches. So he says to him, isn't this usur? The less usur? He says, beferish in the pasuk, lo tizmor, karmachal, lo tizmor. You're sitting here openly, being machal, pasuk in the Torah? And the man said to him, Amarle, la aklina nin boy, I am in the olive press business. As you know, part of the first stage of pressing your olives is you make these nets, so to speak, that means baskets with very big holes. You put the olives in there, they sit in there, and they start getting heated from the slow oxidation. And then they become softened, and then you put them into the press. So, I need a lot of these branches in order to make these kinds of nets for my olives. That's all that I'm doing. I have absolutely no intention of pruning at all. Omar Leis, Rabbi Akiva said to him, okay, but just remember, Halev yodea im le'iku im la'kalkalot. So he made a Barnea turn of phrase. Your heart has got to be honest enough to know whether you need this for your olive baskets or you need this to be doing all kinds of disgusting things. So that's up to you to determine. I can't tell you that you can't do it because it looks like a Maris Ayin. It's the type of thing that people often need to do. But nonetheless, the bottom line is, that's like we had, remember earlier, the sugya, Hakol Hashem Shamayin. So his brother, okay, so we'll be matir certain. As long as the person knows that what he's doing for the right reasons. That was Rabbi Akiva's maimer. Halev yodea, only your heart can know if it's like kale or if it's like kalkalot. Beautiful way to end our Rosh Chodesh Mishnah and Sugya and Shviyas. Tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, will continue with Halacha Beis and in better times. Okay? HaKadosh Baruch Hu yechadesh alenu asechidosh hazeh l'teva, l'vrocha, l'besuras teves, l'yishuais, l'chomais, l'binyin b'es ha-migdash, and HaKomas Malchus b'es David. Go to everybody. See you then very soon.